such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome at TNTC. Christine is back today. We missed you on Tuesday. So I'm very, very happy today because we had confirmation last night with Bishop Birmingham, Kevin Birmingham, Bishop Kevin Birmingham. 71, we had 71 candidates. Oh, it was just, wow. It was absolutely beautiful. It was so beautiful. The catechists, everybody just, I mean, it was one of the, and I shouldn't say the few times because it happens often, but everybody responded, you know. In other words, when they brought the candidate up for confirmation, the sponsor presents the candidate, and they all did such a beautiful job. Like Bishop Birmingham, I present to you Maria Goretti for confirmation, and then there's the anointing, and the bishop says, "Peace be with you," and the candidate who's now confirmed says, and with your spirit, and thank you. And it was just, they were just, it was beautiful. It was so beautiful. And everybody was appropriately dressed. They came in, believe it or not, because the church was packed.
Yeah.
And they, you know, you expect all this noise before the Mass, and it was
silent,
very quiet. It was really at the end, you know, it was because they've taken pictures, and it's, you know, it's to be expected.
Everybody's excited.
But it was a very prayerful. It seemed to be a very prayerful preparation.
Oh, beautiful.
For the Mass, and so it was really.
They were well prepared.
Well prepared, and you know, Tony's wife is one of the catechists, or in kind of in charge of the one of the leaders of the catechist. You know, so. She's a catechist as well, but we've got a team of people that work. And what we've been doing, and I was explaining to the bishops, but I think a number of parishes are going into this type of catechetical formation where you've got the catechist working with the parents, and then the parents catechize their children. So it's a family-based
catechesis. You think this is working better than before? Because I like this idea from the very beginning.
I do think I tell you, well, now when it comes to confirmation per se or Holy Communion, then in addition to the parents catechizing, because the parents have the book and the kids have the book, the catechetical book, and again the catechists are dealing with the parents, and so the catechesis takes place in the home.
Yeah,
but they're expected to come as a family to Mass on Sunday. And we saw a big change, you know, once we did that, because before we had the catechism, because you were a catechist.
So that's why I asked, because it was so hard. You feel like you're swimming upstream.
Right, exactly, yes.
But I think even when you first, you know, suggested this, I guess it was because of the pandemic, really.
Right, the pandemic.
And I thought it's a brilliant idea because you get the parents involved. And I'm not saying parents aren't always involved, but, you know, life is life. You know, it's like you're always busy.
Right.
But the fact that you put it on the parents.
Right.
Because it's almost like a duel. You get the parents educating themselves too, and
that's
the
how
kids.
It should be.
Yeah.
It starts from home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those ideas that you think, oh, this is why didn't we do this from the very
beginning? Well, it was, and a lot of the parents appreciate it because they're learning.
Exactly.
They're learning,
that's
you know.
Right.
We never stop learning, you know. That's the thing about the faith,
so
is we never stop learning.
Gotta,
and like you always said, we have to keep repeating, repeating, right?
I mean, I guess the people that walk away and say, oh, here he goes, Father, he's saying the same thing over again, are probably at that moment not really, you know, getting it. That's why, and I believe everybody in time will get it.
Yeah.
It's just that you got to keep talking.
Well, I tell, and the bishop was saying this as well, that there seems to be an increase. While we know that demographically speaking, there's been a decrease, and there's been the closure of churches, and so a lot of churches have combined. But there's I'm not saying they're doing more confirmations now than they did before. Because I think we've certainly been deeply affected by the radical secularization of society, and so there has to be a real intent on the part of people to decide they're going to participate, they're going to actively
practice the faith
that they're but I think with all the crazy things going on in the world, that people are, and this is certainly my hope, they realize, you know, who do you trust? Who do you lean into? And it begs the question, you know, maybe I need to, I can't take for granted any longer that the church is always going to be there. The church will be there in one way or another to the end of time. That's the promise of our Lord, the gates of hell shall not prevail. We know at the end of time there's going to be, as I speak so often, of the great apostasy, the going away, and we're most definitely in that apostasy, which doesn't negate the reality that there are those who are coming into the church, you know. And what's happening in the Catholic Church is happening in all the churches. I was just reading this morning. It's very interesting because it is a wrong move on the part of the Anglican Church in Great Britain, that they evidently they voted, I hope I'm not misspeaking, but voted to bless same-sex marriages. And the 85% of the Anglicans have come together in Rwanda and are disassociating themselves from the Church of England, though they're Anglicans themselves. But they see this as totally contrary, that there's no justification, there's no precedent, that this is completely contrary to the sacred scripture and what's been handed down to us. And there are those in the Catholic Church who are trying to move in the same direction, bishops and cardinals as well. And I think they need to take note. They need to take note. And this isn't by no means... this is by no means are we. Belittling or diminishing or discriminating against anybody, but it's being faithful to what God has handed down to us. Again, I always say God is a God of order in a disordered world, and we're called to a high standard. He's not a permissive God, but a demanding God. But the hope is that with all this crazy stuff that's going on, because I've said it many times, but the redefining of marriage, the lack of respect for the nuclear family, or even the extended family, but the redefining of holy matrimony, or marriage, because it wouldn't be the church doesn't embrace or canonize the marriage of two men or two women or whatever now, I say that was the Pandora's box. That opened up that box to the point now that we've got just all kinds of different classifications. And if you can approve the marriage of two men or two women, then why can you not then legislate for polygamy or whatever, you know,
anything goes.
Yeah, or even, you know, when you get into this whole transgenderism and all this kind of stuff, If a man can say, or a boy can say, he's really a girl, or a girl can say, I'm really a boy, then what? Where does that end? Why can I not say that I'm, while I'm Anglo, a white, that I can say that, well, you know, in my thinking, in my experience, I'm African American, mm-hmm. or I'm Asian, or I'm Mexican, or a Latino, or Filipino, whatever it might be, you know, because there's no logic to this.
You can take it even further and say, well, you know, I associate myself as a 16-year-old boy right now.
Which
I'm an old man.
Which is... you know,
I can, because I want whatever.
Well, isn't that the whole Budweiser thing? Isn't this the controversy where they put the transgender...
Right, on the can.
Doesn't he claim to be a girl? Not just a woman, but a girl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's...
He sees himself as a girl?
Which
the cat lady?
Yeah, that's...
You know?
Yeah, but I guess with the...
You know what I mean by the cat lady?
Sure,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, with the transgender, I think, what's his name? Mulvaney, I think his name is...
Mulaney or something like that, yeah.
Her, they, I don't know.
I have,
but
yeah.
The point is, it's just like, I see that even kind of... Because when you listen to more of that, I see that really as a slap toward women, because there's like all kinds of advertisements or, you know, women's things that he's supporting now. And
right,
it's not actually, I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, the whole idea of a transgender man playing sports and a women's team.
And that's
unfair.
I mean, this is everywhere. This is, mm-hmm. like I said, you can just total line it where anybody that's looking at this, again, I don't hate anyone.
Right.
I mean, that's not the issue for bringing this up, but it's a matter of, okay, well, this is a person that obviously has something going on.
Right.
And do we celebrate it or do we say, well, you know, we try to figure it out. And it seems now if you ask, you're being told you can't ask.
Right.
You just should accept blindly. And that's the thing that is really confusing.
None of this makes sense.
So you don't want to hurt nobody's feelings in any way.
Not.
But if you don't know, and the fact that you're asking, you're being told.
Well, you're demonized
you should.
Demonized, canceled, ostracized.
It's one of those things where you just do as I say, not as I do.
Considered a hateful person, and yet where's the anger coming from? Where's the violence coming from? You know, it's crazy.
And it's confusing the children.
Completely. This is what's going to bring fire down from heaven, you know.
I really am starting to believe this.
I told the people on, by the way, I forgot to bring all my prayers down here, but we will pray in just a second here. But I do want to say, you know, that what was I going to say? This happens to me all the time.
You said they were going to bring...
Fire down.
The fire down from
heaven. You know, I mentioned, I think maybe...
Sunday?
Maybe, or was it at the funeral? Or maybe Sunday at one of the masses. I said, you know, this goes back to the full counsel of God, as I'll bring up so often, you know, St. Paul, when he left Ephesus, and he spoke to the presbyterate, to the priests, and he says, I'm leaving you with a clean conscience because I didn't withhold from you the full counsel of God, but you need to know that the wolves are coming. You know, divide, devour, to bring to demise who you are, and that's actually the gospel that's coming up on this Sunday. Not that reading from St. Paul, but the gospel, because it's spoken in different ways and throughout sacred scripture. You know that we are in a spiritual battle, and. There seems to be this, which I find quite baffling, even from people in the highest places of the church. And I get it. On one hand, we want to, you know, because we are our God's greatest attribute is mercy, and His love is incomprehensible. His He's all powerful, but the only power he has is not the power not to love us. He laid down his life. He took our sins to himself. We've been redeemed. We've been saved. But we're still sinners, and we've yet to die. And so we're being constantly washed, bathed in the blood of the Lamb, the precious blood of Christ, in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which brings us to communion with God. But the this allergic reaction to God, who could punish or chastise, in other words, we don't want to, it's almost as if, you know, that a good God would not chastise or punish people he loved into life, that he created in his image and likeness and beauty and goodness. God who created the world, why would God destroy the world? But we fail to recognize that, you know, that there's been, you know, the original sin, the rebellion against God, and for this reason, what comes into reality is a sin, which is disorder, and death, which is inevitable. Nobody's going to escape death, but that we've been redeemed by God who took on our flesh, the incarnate God, in order to remind us, and he did quite frankly remind us, that the commandments are binding on all people for all time, and he calls us to a life of high virtue. And Jesus himself, often in the Gospels, he speaks about, you know, the punishment or the chastisement that would come upon those who have no regard for God's law, or have no regard, those who reject him. And Scripture speaks about, you know, what father who loves his son would not discipline his son, you know? And at the time the discipline or chastise is administered, that it's cause for sorrow, but later one looks, and who of us can deny that? We all look back and we say, you know, the fact that my father was not permissive, but that he was because as God speaks of himself as being a demanding God, not a permissive God, but a demanding God. As Jesus said, this is a very narrow path that we're called to follow. It's a discipline. And Jesus said, you know, right, those who lead the innocent astray, woe to those who lead the innocent astray. Better that a millstone be put around their neck than be thrown in the sea and drown. Do we completely dismiss all that from sacred scripture? Because what God, I mean, if God's love is such that if he sees we're going down a path where we self-destruct, then there's a point where he will manifest himself in order to bring us down, in order to awaken us, to bring us back into reality, his reality, right? That we're not going, he'll give sufficient grace, but the problem is, as human beings, we tend to be stiff-necked, tadikos, right?
That's right.
Tadikos.
Just like the Israelites.
Like the Israelites. Nothing new under the sun.
No.
And so to think that history will not repeat itself if we don't reawaken to God's reality and God's demands, because it's for what purpose? But for our salvation, and that we have a responsibility to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what are the future consequences to a society that is in apostasy, it has gone away from God, and creates its own religion? You know, I keep hearing more and more about the climate change as being a kind of religion, or even the whole LGBT stuff is kind of. In fact, what was I listening to the other day? The penance. They even impose their own penances. Forgotten what context that was said, but it made so much sense to me. I think by nature we have to have a religion, something to believe in, someone to believe in.
You know, I just think about that in a way. You can have conversations with people that would to your face, have every excuse why there is not a God, in a discussion where you're trying to say, yes, there is a God. But when we talk about climate change, there's the same both sides of it say it's not real.
Right.
And the other side, in a sense, in a weird way, if you look at it, is a source of religion. You know, I believe right. so much in this that I don't even see the evidence. I just believe in it. Yeah. So I think about that.
Well, the state.
Yeah.
The state becomes a god.
Exactly. And it even goes further than that. Yeah. For the people that don't believe in God, then what do you believe in?
What do you believe in, yeah.
And I think people don't understand how they could. And I get this even when I talk to people, you know, like Democrats and Republicans. And you talk to different people and you see how, you know, there's people that don't bend one way or the other. And then for me, that's where I try to challenge. I try to, well, why do you feel this way? What is your, and there's no, it's almost like a blind faith in something that is not real.
A rigidity. The very thing that we're so often accused of.
Exactly.
They're guilty of. And
exactly.
That's why I've said often, you know, put a camera outside the confessional and speak to somebody who comes out of the, because there's certainly, the church certainly is the compassion and the mercy. If mercy is God's greatest attribute, mercy should be the church's greatest attribute. And yet, of course, you've got those who are going to deviate, those who are going to, Jesus had 12 apostles, one sold them out, betrayed them. Mm-hmm. And so, but society is not forgiving.
No.
The church is a forgiving church, a reconciling church. And yeah. That's our mission is one of reconciliation. Now, it certainly, and I believe this you'll hear in the reading on Sunday, the mandate into the mission of the risen Christ to the apostles is what? Go and preach repentance. Repent of your sin. That means you've got to acknowledge sin, personal sin. See, it's easy to... I think what's so much a reality in our society today is we don't want to take personal responsibility,
yeah.
but put the blame on
others,
this group or that group yeah. or whatever it might
blame
be.
Blame somebody
right?
else.
Yeah.
Sure.
And but we don't want to take personal responsibility, and so he says, repent, preach repentance of sin, in other words, conversion of life. To a God, because if we're not, you know, and this is where we have to humbly acknowledge, you know, these people who boast of the fact that they don't need God, they don't need the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who's revealed himself in Jesus Christ, who redeemed us and saved us, and holds us to a high standard. No, they're going to boast of the fact that they don't need that God, but they've certainly got their own gods.
Yes.
You know, so the... We're living in a time when when idolatry abounds. Even the whole LGBT plus it's a kind of religion. It's become a kind of religion, a kind of a cult.
Yeah,
you know, in a sense. And can we admit that? Can we say that without being burned at the stake?
You can say whatever you want about the Catholic Church, and people do. But the minute you say something like that about the
particular group, or
right, you can't do that.
You can't
see again this revision to revision history, whether it be the history of our nation or the history of the Church, is to fail to recognize. Yes, of course, there's been deviation, and there's been scandal, and Jesus said, "You're not going to avoid scandal." It's always going to be there. And what are those by whom it comes? But we have the means to correct ourselves so that when we deviate, we have the person of Christ, Jesus, the faith of the church, to correct ourselves. Not only we in the church, but in our nation as well, which is why... you know, it was shocking, disturbing and shocking to watch the a couple of years ago when we had all the riots and mm-hmm. there were the tearing down of our national monuments, the people who governed this nation, or even statues of saints mm-hmm. that were destroyed as well. Were these people perfect? No, only God is perfect.
Right.
But and this whole the idea of that, well, just because George Washington had slaves, or, well, you know, slavery was not just unique to the United States. Slavery was all over the world, and even in Africa, mm-hmm. Africans had their own slaves. But when Christianity comes into play, then it may be a slow process, but you have a process by which we self-evaluate. We, you know, it's like the Spirit of God brings us to conversion, mm-hmm. and brings us to correct our wrongdoing.
Right. But see, you're talking truth and in history. These things happen, but I guess what's happening today is we want to change all of that. See, there's people that, and again, I'm all about peaceful, you know, demonstrations. I'm all about that. But, you know, when you start changing history, or you don't know what you're doing, that becomes a mob, okay? No right. matter what, whoever's inciting it, or if you're not thinking. And I think a lot of that was that. It was just an incitement when people are doing things for not knowing why they're doing it, and or the reasons they're doing it
right.
go against what is – it made no sense.
Mob mm-hmm. mentality, right?
And what yeah. was even more – to me, scary is the people in charge weren't doing anything.
Right.
That, again, well, no, I don't care who you are,
often
left, right.
Often stoking.
That's right.
That's what it seems.
Because there's a spirit that wants to divide.
Yes.
Divide for the sake of power and prestige, or for the sake of the perpetuating one's agenda, or, you know, the... I thought it was so very interesting with the BLM, mm-hmm. And you know it's interesting how everybody gets on that bandwagon.
Yeah.
Even the Holy Father, who commended this whole movement. Okay, so this is where things get distorted, mm-hmm. or perverted, or a good thing becomes a very bad thing. But the millions of first of all, the fact that there seem to be some public justification mm-hmm. for the ruining of the destruction of people's property, people's lives. It was very interesting, you know, when just a couple of weeks ago when the transgender person went into the school and mm-hmm. killed three children and three adults. I think it was a total of six people,
yep.
and others were wounded, I believe. And immediately there was an outcry against those who oppose, or who that there would be a backlash against the transgender community, and there hasn't been.
No.
There hasn't been.
Because I firmly believe, again, anyone can challenge me on it, this is being done to stoke discord, to stoke
violence.
But
again, for what purpose?
Yeah.
Exactly. It's
for
just—
For power.
Yeah, it's almost like, okay, who
And then you
got
to follow the money. Follow the money.
That's exactly it.
Always
you
follow
also,
the money.
You also have to say, well, who do you listen to? Because when one then gets scared, because even for me, I mean, I don't hate transgender people, but I was fearing that, okay, somebody is going to get, you know, off, you know, loony and go do something that they shouldn't do. So you fear for people.
Because if you genuinely adhere to the faith.
Yeah.
Again, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who's revealed himself in Jesus, you have regard for the commandments of God, for the discipline of the faith, and the fact that we are called to be a merciful, compassionate, loving people, imperfect as we are, then it's kind of inconceivable that we would resort to vengeance, because vengeance is contrary to our faith. Now, there is a point where one is justified in defending oneself or one's family or one's, or even a nation has to defend itself. You get into the whole controversy of, you know, just you know, how do you justify war? Mm-hmm. War is an evil, no doubt. War is an evil, but do you? Anyway, nobody's being called to arms.
Right.
We're just the point being that if I can go back to this idea that we boast of not having to adhere to God, the God of the Judeo-Christian God, but you know, humble yourself and recognize the gods to whom you do adhere. Mm-hmm. You know, the kinds of idolatries or the kind of religion that you've created or entered into. You know, you'll follow those disciplines, and you'll impose penance and reparation on others. But the whole thing is very twisted. You know, it's very twisted.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned Tuesday on the radio, but maybe if not, I just mention it again. But on at the homily on Sunday, I mentioned about that, you know, where we become foreigners in a strange land, and because everything is just so different. It's amazing to me in the 37 years I'm a priest how radically different things are.
Yeah.
Radically different. And because we've so bought into the society, and we're so steeped into social justice, which isn't in and of itself a bad thing necessarily, depending on, you know, how one views or enters into. Certainly, we need to fight for justice, to work for justice. Fight, I guess, fight would still be a bad word for some people, but. We fight the good fight. You know, we were talking about this the other day, that somebody was telling me, you know, we just had confirmation. Used to be that when you were confirmed, when I was confirmed, you know, you were, it was really impressed upon you that you're a soldier of Christ, because now you have to defend the faith, and that means you've got to be strong, you've got to be courageous. As Jesus said, you know, you're going to have trouble now in this world, but have courage and be at peace. I've conquered the world. And all those the men he spoke to, they were martyred. They were all martyred. They all went to their death rather than deny Jesus. But they didn't go to their death, carrying swords and rifles and all that. They went to their death because it like Stephen, who the first martyr. This is a beautiful, beautiful. I say, you know, in the sense that. His and Paul was there. This is before Paul's conversion, but they didn't want to hear the truth of because Jesus is truth, God is truth. Jesus is God in the flesh, and so He calls us to the away from falsehood to truth as we're making our way on this sojourn toward the homeland. We're here for a short time, so we're here to live sacrificial love and to commit ourselves to carrying each other through and to have a concern for people's personal well-being, but also their salvation, which means everybody is really called to make some kind of sacrifice. And so calling people to conversion, as St. Stephen was, the deacon, the first martyr of the church, the men who heard him, the Pharisees and the I don't remember who the in what certainly Pharisees. Paul was a Pharisee. He was a very devout Jew, very devout Pharisee. And you got to remember, at that time, it was all Jewish. You know, mm-hmm. The church was all Jewish. So even when they speak against their own people, they're speaking. It would be like me talking to trying to wake up the Catholic people and say, you know, you people, if you don't get it, nobody's going to get it, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's not we're not discriminating against a people, but it's, you know, this is like as we've been hearing in the scripture all these days, remember what was written. You know, it's all been foretold. It's all there. Jesus opened up the scriptures, you know, but it wasn't Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It wasn't the Gospels. It wasn't the epistles, the letters. It wasn't the book of Revelation. It wasn't the Acts of the Apostles. None of this has been written. This is the day of the resurrection. But he keeps going back and they remember what was written in scripture. What did Moses say in Isaiah and Baruch and Ezekiel and Jeremiah? It was all supposed to happen this way. In fact, I think that might be the reading today. I'll look at this and we'll take a break in a moment. But so the point that I'm trying to make here, this is how my mind just goes all over the place.
The martyrdom of Stephen.
So thank you, Christina. That's why we're glad you're back on the show. So Stephen, you know, so as he's speaking to them about Jesus, you know, that Jesus who came, he's from among us, you know. Mm-hmm. This nation was formed by God that from this nation the Messiah would come, the Israelites, the Jews, the Messiah would come. The Blessed Virgin Mary was a Jewish woman. All the apostles were Jewish. All the early church was all Jewish. And so Stephen is trying to convince, because even when the scripture says, we'll hear this, it's either been in the readings or it's coming up. I'm behind myself, ahead of myself. But you know that even priests were converting. Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't the priest as we have the ministry, the priesthood now, but it was the priest of the Old Testament, which no longer exists. There's no priesthood in Judaism now because the temple was destroyed. The sacrifices ceased to be because the ultimate sacrifice was ratified in the supreme high priest, Jesus, who offered himself a living sacrifice, the Lamb of sacrifice to atone for our sins, which made null all other sacrifices and the priesthood, so that what you have today is rabbinic Judaism, but you don't have the priesthood. So the priesthood is, the only priest is Christ, and myself as a priest, my ministerial priesthood is lived and exercised in the person of Jesus Christ. But all the baptized participate in the priesthood of Jesus. So we still offer the sacrifice, but it's the sacrifice, the only sacrifice, which is the perpetuation of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, Jesus Christ, the high priest who offered himself as the living sacrifice. That sacrifice to set us free from our slavery to sin and death is perpetuated until he comes at the end of time, where we're being thereby washed in the blood of the Lamb, because we're still sinners and we've yet to die. But going back to Stephen to finish that story up, as he's trying to explain to his fellow Jews, they can't stand it, and they're even putting their hands over their ears because
sounds
they say,
like today.
Is this what they're always saying?
Absolutely.
Stop it already. Shut up already. We don't want to hear this, you know. And the message bothered them so much because they were calling them to conversion of life. Mm-hmm. You got to change your ways. Obedience to the laws of God, acceptance of Jesus as God who has come to us in the flesh, the Messiah, the Christ. They didn't want nothing of it. They didn't want to hear of it. And so I think that the scripture says they're covering their ears, so they, you know, trying to, you know, it's like somebody putting their fingers down the chalkboard, you know. If anybody knows what a chalkboard is these days, you know.
What's
right.
that?
And yeah, it's like, you know, and so they finally stone him to death. And in going to death, he did so courageously, and he said, emulating Jesus Christ, Father, forgive them. Forgive them their sins, you know, and the heavens open and he sees the Christ. So religion is very much alive, but it's just like, what religion are we talking about, you know? Mm-hmm. We become smaller and smaller, hopefully holier and holier, because there's an intent to see the craziness of the world and what's going on, and making a I'm not going to go the way of the world. I'm not going to get on that bandwagon or this bandwagon. I'm gonna stay in the faith of my ancestors, a faith that has been time tried and tested, and you know that Christ indeed is in our midst. You know, the kingdom has come, but it's not fully realized. And yes, we are in a spiritual battle, and we have to fight the good fight. And in so doing, we claim the victory. And we get discouraged. No doubt we get discouraged. And that's where we need each other, to strengthen each other. But we're not the bad people that people make us out to be. Or even our leaders sometimes make us out to be bad people.
That is interesting. Even when you think about the Pope sometimes.
Well, I was going to, God forbid, you know.
And I know I said it. You said it. It's even my president that makes me feel that way also. But the point is.
So I get it. Go ahead. What's your point?
No, the point is, again, you have to, I think, every day. I don't want to be told I'm a bad person every day. I don't want to be told I'm doing something wrong. But when you have something like faith or God on your side and you learn the things that are the things that I could be doing.
So with regards to the—
You need a, you know, a background.
Yeah. So with regards to the Pope, the Holy Father, I have utmost respect for the office of the papacy. How could I not? I'm a Catholic. Right. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. But that doesn't mean that popes are perfect. They're not gods. They're servants of God. Mm-hmm. They serve Christ. But speaking of the Pope, and I know we brought it up before, and some people just freak out when you say this. But if the Pope says I want to change the face of the Church, well, I agree 100% if it means I want a holy Church.
Right. Don't know what it means.
I want a church that is adhering to the truth as it's been handed down to us. Mm-hmm. I want a holy church. I want a holy priesthood. I want holy marriages, holy families. Then absolutely, yes, we want. But what the enigma here, the mystery here, is why those who hold to tradition— are a little bit bothered, confused by what is meant by the surprise of the mm-hmm. Spirit. Well, the surprise of what Spirit? The Spirit of this group's agenda or that group's agenda? Or is it the Holy Spirit that's been acting all the while in the Church? And all has been revealed. We can more deeply understand who we are, where we've come from. But we don't have, and the early church fathers and down through the ages, you know, there's non-negotiables. You can't change, we can't say all of a sudden now that, that God foreordained that two men could marry or two women could marry, or that the Eucharist is not really the body, the blood, the soul, and divinity of mm-hmm. Christ, or that Mary was not. That Jesus was not fully man, fully God, fully human, fully divine. We can't change that. The whole mystery of the Holy Trinity, we can't change. There's many things we can't change. So the Pope, on one hand, so Catholics in this time of great confusion who are trying to stay the course, as I keep saying now to people, we got to stay the course. When we're being attacked and we're being watched, for any kind of misstep against what seems to be the current agenda to appease the world, we can't embrace a new world order in the absence of Christ. If it's a new world order where Christ is absolutely the foundation and the center, then that's the kingdom of God, right? But really, these people need to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
But traditional Catholic. If you're self-righteous, then you got to be called to task.
Mm-hmm.
If you walk or live with an aura of superiority, that you're better than others, then you got to be called to task. But people that are sincerely, and I know
many, many people, most people, that are practicing the faith, that keeping tradition, the tradition in a beautiful, good way. Mm-hmm. Because if we don't know where we come from, we don't know who we are, where we're going. But when they keep so when you've got, I was just reading an article about with Disney, they did a film and he met with all these young people and they were most of them were not practicing Catholics. One was a Muslim. One was a former Catholic who does produces pornography and. You know, so he
just the people to talk to.
Compassionately, he's dealing with these people. He didn't deviate from the church, but although he did say, you know, well, the church, when it comes to sexuality, is still in diapers. Well, what does that mean? I mean, it's so crazy.
See, it's just that it's that not being clear, which I've over the years discovered that when somebody doesn't want to be clear with you, it leaves it for you to decide. What is the truth? What should I, you know, if you're not going to answer the question, and this is where I get angry, and this is where my frustration comes from, because I'm the angry one.
Well, somebody has to hear that, though. Somebody has to appreciate
nobody is listening. No, that's the thing. That's the thing. And again, it's scary because it leaves it to you to then.
Yeah. Is it scary, fearful as to why all of a sudden people feel that they can't speak openly?
Exactly.
In defense of their own faith.
It's almost like shutting
being,
you up.
Without being shut down or shut up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the people who hold the tradition, hold to the holy sacrifice, want reverent worship, who hold to the commandments of God as they've come down to, but you know, and again, I'm not saying that the Pope is denying that, but they don't seem to have. There's no space for them to come in and speak their mind.
Yeah.
Now people can challenge me, but that's been the whole.
There's
case.
No dialogue. Dialogue is slowly becoming. You do what I tell you, and I'm seeing it, and that is one of my fears, and basically one of the things I pray every night for, is just that, you know, if it comes. Push comes to shove, there's going to be problems. So, I mean, if you want dialogue and you're not listening to the other side, then you don't want...
There's no dialogue.
There's no dialogue. There's no... You just do what I tell you. And again, that's why I fall back on God, my faith, what I believe.
Yeah, better to be, you know, if you want the ear of the Pope, better that you be a sinner. We're all sinners.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the problem is, and again, this we think of the gospel that's coming Sunday, which we'll talk about maybe perhaps tomorrow, but because Jesus talks about the good shepherd. He's the shepherd in the gate. And again, there, like what was St. Paul, beware of the robbers. I'm just saying that we need clarity. Mm-hmm. You know, when the Pope told the young people in Brazil, was it Brazil, his first trip, he says to the young people, "Go into your diocese, go home to your diocese, and make a mess, organize and make a mess." What does that mean? How do young people hear that?
They're gonna take it literally, like just be rebellious.
Well, isn't this what we're seeing?
That's
in
what we're seeing.
In the streets of the city of Chicago. That's
so again, then logic does tell us that if you don't clarify it in any way. This is what you want,
or even you know when the away from the Pope, but again, I think it's the same thing. There should be room for dialogue, you know, and to be able to say, you know, hey, well, we're just here, simple Catholics trying to keep our faith. I'm a simple priest trying to keep the faith and trying to lead people in the right direction. Mm-hmm. How is it that here at St. Stanislaus, Kostka? You know, we get reprimanded because, you know, we were doing ad orientem, which has never been abrogated. But, okay, so I'm acting on obedience, but raise questions, but get reprimanded. But then kitty corner from here at a church at St. Patrick's.
Mm-hmm.
On Father's Day, you've got two gay men in a marriage who are giving the homily on Father's Day. And the whole congregation stands up and applauds after the homily. Now, I'm not besmirching these two men as individuals. No. They were educated. I saw it on the video and all that. But that's okay. And that's completely contrary to
You're asking questions. And that's not good.
And this is what creates confusion.
Yep.
This is what creates confusion. So you would think that at a time when the world is in grave confusion, that there should be clarity. There should be defense of the faith. And, compassion and mercy and love and dialogue, listening, mm-hmm. as you listen to the Pope now, listen to the young people. But there's no overt call to any kind of conversion or any kind of repentance. But to say, well, the church is still in diapers, you know, when it comes to sexuality, well, what the heck does that mean?
Which means we've had it wrong all this time.
or when the mayor of the city of Chicago, mayor-elect, mm-hmm. comes out and after, you know, these kids ransack the downtown area of Chicago and, you know, put fear into the lives of the people. Now people don't want to come into the city. They burn the cars. They beat people up. Somebody was shot, I believe.
That's right.
And he says, well, you know, you can't demonize these young people. You know, this is then are you not just giving them the green light to continue doing what you're doing?
Exactly.
I mean, where's the father? Well, see, this goes back to the absence of fatherhood, mm-hmm. you know.
But we can't talk about this either.
And you can't talk about that. So anyway, we've gone 51 minutes into the show. And we haven't even stopped talking, you know. This is so, Nick, we'll take a break and then we'll come back and wrap up. Don't go away, everybody. We will be back to wrap up. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
You know what Catholic radio is? It's training for the troops. It's a interaural of the ear boot camp. The folks who listen, who grow in their faith, grow in charity, grow in all the virtues, they then go out and exert an influence far beyond just themselves. Catholic radio has an exponential effect for bringing people deeper into the faith.
Dr. Ray Guarendi thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Ladies, would you like to know what it is that men really want? I am Father Thomas Lawyer with a Theology of the Body moment for the Tabor Life Institute. In complement to woman's body, the body of a man is designed to act upon the environment, to go up against things greater than he is. Men are designed to defend, protect, tear down, build, resist, invent, in short, to accomplish the task. Their greatest desire, therefore, is to be told that they have what it takes, they measure up, and have indeed accomplished the task. Conversely, a man's greatest fear is to be told that he is not adequate, that he is a failure. A man wants to see reflected in the eyes of his woman the essential message of his manhood. Yes, I do believe in you, honey. You are my knight in shining armor. Ladies, when a man hears that message, he will do anything for you. To find out more about the theology of the body, visit taberlife.org. Taberlife.org.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Koska is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when Masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night.
For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Koska is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change. And so just by way of wrapping up, we've only got 5 minutes, less than 5 minutes actually here.
I take full responsibility for derailing the show.
No, I mean, I hope people understand, you know, it's just, it's like those two disciples on the road conversing, discussing, debating. What the heck is going on, you know? Is heck a wrong? Is that a bad word to say on the radio? What the heck is going on?
It's not as bad as you could say.
Right. But it is a weird time we're living in. Yeah. And you just think that people would have the common sense
And that's the problem.
Sense.
There's no common sense. No logic. It's gone.
It's a strange thing. But, let me just end with, we didn't pray, but we pray. And this is a basic prayer from the Acts of the Apostles. This is today's reading. The angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, and he says, get up and head south on the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, the desert route. So he got up and he set out. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, that is, the queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury, who had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit said to Philip, go and join up with that chariot. So Philip ran up, heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and said, do you understand what you're reading? He replied, how can I, unless someone instructs me? So he invited Philip to get in and sit with him. This was the scripture passage he was reading. Like a shepherd, he was led to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will tell of his posterity? For his life is taken from the earth. Then the eunuch said to Philip, I beg you, about whom is the prophet saying this? About himself or about someone else? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture passage, he proclaimed Jesus to him. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there is water. What is it to prevent me being baptized? Then he ordered the chariot to stop, and Philip and the eunuch both went down into the water, and he baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, but continued on his way, rejoicing. Philip came to Azotus and went about proclaiming the good news to all the towns until he reached Caesarea. And so it is, you know. We're called to give witness, and it's all been written. It's all been foretold, because, again, at that point, no Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, no epistles, no Acts of the Apostles, no book of Revelation. It's all been foretold, and we have an obligation to give witness and to proclaim that Jesus isn't one among many. But he is the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other. God, who came to us in the flesh, laid down his life, that we would have life and have it to the full. Okay, everybody, thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.